This is the Zeroid process, and it is available to you at the American Family Clinic. It is painless and non-invasive. If you want to optimize your health by using this advanced energy technology, call 1-800-205-6245 and make an appointment today. That's 1-800-205-6245.
I'm here at the American Freedom Network, and with us this morning is Dr. Garth Nicholson, who is a tenured professor at the MD Anderson Clinic and in Houston, and served on the university there. I was a full professor of medicine for many, many years, and certainly he was on the editorial board of a number of scientific journals and edited several of them himself. He's internationally known as a scientist. And, of course, involved in science and advancing the cause of knowledge about various diseases until something strange happened, and that was when his stepdaughter came home from the Gulf War, the first Gulf War, with Gulf War disease, and that led him into an odyssey of tracking down the cause of not only the Gulf War illness, or at least one of the causes of Gulf War illness, but of chronic fatigue disease, and then of so many of the other new emerging diseases which are plaguing the American people. And as a result of beginning to look into this and finding out that many of these diseases were caused by genetically engineered organisms, in other words, organisms that have been created in a laboratory, why he came under tremendous pressure. And so I'm going to let him tell you this story. It's been put into a book form. Now it's faction. It's based upon fact, but it's written as fiction because they can't put out the names of a lot of these people because, of course, that would subject them to libel suits. But it is one of the most amazing books you've ever read. It's called Project Daylily. We carry the book. It reads like a thriller. It is a thriller. The trouble is, it's true. Dr. Nicholson, thank you so very much for being with us this morning.
Well, good morning.
And why don't you sort of pick the story up, and I'll just let you tell it.
Well, the story, Project Daylily, is really, it's a true story. The only thing that we've done is really change the names of the characters and the places and change the names of the institutions. And the reason why we did that was that we didn't want to be tied up in court trying to explain ourselves. It's a very expensive process, and so it's just easier to do that, and then you cut that off immediately. But other than that, everything is completely true about the book. And in fact, the scientific results that are discussed in the book are backed up by our publications and testimony to Congress. I testified 6 times to congressional committees about this topic. So it's something that is available not only in the literature, but it's available on the congressional record and other places as well. But the story really started, as you mentioned, from the first Gulf War, but it's continued on since. In fact, we're seeing the same problems with some of the people coming back from this latest conflict in Iraq, and that's the fact that many people are now suffering from fatiguing illnesses, and these are illnesses with non-descriptive signs and symptoms or non-specific signs and symptoms that are not unique to this particular problem. But they start, of course, with fatigue, and then they go on to arthritic-like signs and symptoms, aching joints, painful muscles, for example. They also have cognitive problems, neurologic problems, brain fog, cognitive problems, severe headaches. Some of these patients have skin problems, for example, and this gets into some other issues which we'll discuss perhaps later on with another new emerging illness called Morgellons. And they have generally just an awful lot of signs and symptoms, sometimes 20 to 40 different signs and symptoms, from gastrointestinal problems to heart problems to kidney problems and all kinds of difficulties with their neuromuscular system. So these are, although they're kind of non-descriptive or non-specific, the signs and symptoms, they are difficult for people to handle and difficult for physicians to diagnose because there's so many signs and symptoms. These illnesses that we found are likely to be caused by infectious agents. The reason for that is that we find infectious agents that are capable of doing this. They're capable of doing this not only in humans, but they're capable of showing the same problems in animal models and in various livestock, for example. They're fully capable of causing all the different signs and symptoms and all the problems associated with the diseases. We've started finding these infections using molecular genetic techniques, and so we were pretty sure that we were identifying them correctly from the very beginning. And one of the things that caused us so many problems is that when we started looking in more detail, we found that there were some unusual genetic aberrations in these organisms. That is, they seem to be carrying genes that they shouldn't have. And this is what led us into a whole business that these might have been genetically modified microorganisms, modified or weaponized to make them more aggressive, more pathogenic, more survivable out in the wild, and capable of causing a lot of new different problems in their host that the original organism didn't cause. And some of these problems are autoimmune in nature. Some of these problems are the capability of the organism to go into different tissues and cause different problems, the capability of interfering with the immune response and suppressing the immune system. So a lot of these characteristics were probably not present or present in a lesser degree in the original microbes. And we don't hear much about these microorganisms. And the reason for that is that traditionally they were thought to be fairly benign and not capable of causing severe human illnesses. But now we know that something has changed, because these microorganisms are fully capable of causing some very severe problems. And they could account for the astonishing increase in autoimmune diseases, rheumatic illnesses, and fatiguing illnesses that we see in our population today.
Well, I know when I went to medical school, we talked about pneumonia. We never talked about a mycoplasm pneumonia. It wasn't really until 1980, when I returned from Africa, they began talking about atypical pneumonia. And that makes up, what, about a quarter of pneumonia cases?
Actually, it's higher than that. It's almost half of the community-based pneumonia cases are caused by infections like mycoplasmal infections.
And we really certainly didn't recognize those many years ago. Do you think that they were there and we didn't recognize them, or do you think this is something relatively new?
Well, I think it's both. I think they were there and we didn't recognize it. That was part of the problem. But I think some of the new emerging illnesses, and we can think about Lyme disease, for example, Morgellons disease, and you can probably put certain forms of chronic fatigue syndrome and fibromyalgia syndrome in that same category. These are illnesses, as you know, that really didn't exist, or they were there, but they didn't exist in the numbers that we see them in now.
We'll be back in just a moment with Dr. Garth Nicholson, just discussing emerging diseases, the impact on you and your life.
Constitutional Moments are brought to you throughout the day through the generosity of CNC Prototype Machine, Boulder, Colorado. This is Michael Golden, and I'm pleased to announce the release of my new CD, Mikamot HaKodeshi, Holy Places. Holy Places is a collection of some of my favorite praise and worship songs. It's available now at the American Freedom Network for only $15 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-800-205-6245 to order your copy of Holy Places. The American Freedom Network is not funded or supported by special interest groups or government programs. The American Freedom Network is not sponsored by advertisers demanding content or programming control. The American Freedom Network is solely funded by you, the listener. Please help keep the American Freedom Network on the air by purchasing one of our sponsors' fine products or by calling 1-800-205-6245 to make a donation. The American Freedom Network needs your help.
Modern Bible scholars teach that the church will miraculously be kept from the tribulation in an event called the rapture. Yet the Bible is strangely quiet about such an event. The Watchman's Cry is a fascinating new book by Obadiah Frank that makes the study of the last days understandable. Using clear explanations, the notion that the church will be raptured before the time of the Great Tribulation is proven a dangerous deception. The Watchman's Cry is available from the American Freedom Network for only $10 postpaid. Call 1-800-205-6245.
The American Freedom Network has a growing list of videos available. We like to show people the good things about life in America. These videos depict great events, inspirational music, and very special people. If you couldn't be here to see them live, call 1-800-205-6245 for title and price information. That's 1-800-205-6245.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network. Our guest this morning, Dr. Garth Nicholson. We're talking about these emerging diseases which are becoming more prevalent. In fact, aren't many of the cases of the people that we think have influenza, do some of those have mycoplasma as well?
Oh, that's quite common. As a matter of fact, this is probably one of the most underdiagnosed types of infections in internal medicine. And the reason for this is that it's very difficult to find these types of intracellular bacterial infections. These are infections that bury themselves deep inside the cells, and so our immune system can't recognize them and can't get at them, and they hide, more or less, as stealth infections. So they're awfully hard to find. We used molecular genetic techniques to find them, and others have as well, but these are not sort of routine tests that are available in a physician's office or even most diagnostic laboratories. There are some specialized laboratories that can test for these, and if people contact me, I'll give them information on that. And they can contact me at the Institute for Molecular Medicine, and my email address is on the website, which is www.immed.org. Just think of immediate.org, and you'll remember the website. And you can go on that and send me an email. People often do. As a matter of fact, I just got an email from a physician at Harvard who asked the same question. How do I get these tests done properly, and how accurate are the tests? And, you know, the problem is with any of these types of tests, they require a blood sample. And I've been talking about intracellular infections, infections buried deep inside cells and tissues, and how will a blood test detect them? Well, it's dependent upon a small amount of the infection being released into the blood, and that doesn't always happen. And so that's why these tests are difficult to do. We and others have found that a small dose of antibiotics, that is a short-term burst of antibiotics for about 1 week, will increase the release rate of these microbes into the circulation, and so we have a much better chance of getting a positive result. But the tests are difficult to do, and so only a specialized laboratory can do them, and this is part of the problem.
All right, fine. Well, of course, through your studies, you found evidence that at least a certain types of mycoplasma had been genetically altered. Would that be a fair statement?
That would be a fair statement. We don't know where this happened or how it happened. We can guess, of course. But this goes back, I think, to the story that we uncovered in the prison system in Texas. And this is kind of a very dirty story that biologic agents were being tested on prisoners without their full informed consent, and this got us into a lot of trouble when we uncovered this. It almost cost us our lives, as a matter of fact. My superior at the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center, Dr. Fred Conrad, was shot 6 times in the back of the head in his office. This was the same morning where he told me that he was going to do something about this problem. And in fact, what happened was he lost his life. And it was sort of a watershed point for us, because we had to make a decision whether to continue on with this or whether to protect ourselves and leave. We decided to stay and try and follow it through, but this caused us a lot of problems. And this is discussed in the book Project Daylily, and this is why it's kind of a thriller, because we were dodging attempts on our lives, attempts to disrupt our science, to shut down our laboratories, to administratively cut us off from everyone else, and take away all the resources that we needed to continue our work. So eventually we had to leave the university, and we set up a nonprofit institute here in California called the Institute for Molecular Medicine, where we're now free to to advise patients and to help them, and this is what we do now.
Well, I know you've helped an awful lot of people. And, of course, the thing is that many of these diseases are treatable. But, of course, the average doctor doesn't realize that. He's not being told by his medical journals. He's not being told in his medical meetings. He's been told that chronic fatigue is a psychological problem, and that's true for many of these other diseases. Would you like to talk a little bit about this? Is it Magellan's disease?
Well, this is one of the new emerging illnesses along with Lyme disease. We have a new one called Magellan's disease.
Magellan.
And this is a disease primarily of the skin, but it also involves other organs as well. People think of this as a skin problem where people have these itchy, crawly feelings on their skin, and there's small little fibers that seem to be coming out of ulcers and sores and little pimple-like eruptions on their skins. But it's much more complex than that, and people have all the same problems that we have with some of the other diseases, problems of fatigue, problems of a cognitive nature, of memory loss, of severe, you know, headaches in some cases, and some patients have gastrointestinal problems and so on. And one of the reasons, I think, for this is that these diseases are not caused by a single infection. They're often caused by multiple co-infections, and we see this in Lyme disease, where the principal microbe is Borrelia, this Lyme spirochete, but it's also accompanied by a number of co-infections. And, of course, the mycoplasma is a very common co-infection. The overwhelming majority of Lyme disease patients have mycoplasma co-infections. And this causes a lot of the morbidity or the sickness in these patients. But they also have other intracellular bacterial infections as well, one called Ehrlichia, which is a rickettsial-type infection. They have infections with Babesia and even Bartonella and so on. These multiple infections make treating Lyme disease a real nightmare for most physicians, and we've tried to help them sort this out by giving them instructions that they can write to me, and we'll be glad to send them instructions on Lyme disease. Not only treating it with pharmacologic agents like antibiotics, but also with nutraceuticals and providing immune support and providing probiotic support and a number of other factors which are very important in these chronic illnesses.
And, of course, the real problem is that people are just totally incapacitated by many of these diseases. And we haven't even, of course, touched on the AIDS, on HIV infection, because as you pointed out in your book, so many of the people with AIDS actually have not only HIV, but a mycoplasma infection. Is that true?
Well, most do, and some people have, in their results, have indicated that over 80% of AIDS patients have mycoplasma co-infections, and this is actually the main cause of morbidity in AIDS patients. And then when they have this infection, of course, they're much more susceptible to a variety of other infections. And so AIDS patients are very susceptible to a variety of different types of infections. And so they have multiple problems. And they have not only bacterial infections, they have fungal infections, other viruses, and so on. And so they get crippled by all these different co-infections. And it's really the co-infections in AIDS that leads to morbidity and ultimately death. It's not the AIDS virus itself. That just sets it up by helping to destroy the immune system and leaving a patient wide open for all these other opportunistic infections. But we think that some of these infections, like the mycoplasma, may go along with the HIV as a cofactor. It certainly goes along with Lyme Borrelia. It's found in the ticks, and it's found in almost all the Lyme's patients. So that's an important cofactor there, and so I wouldn't be surprised if this goes right along with the HIV virus. When a person is infected.
Now, isn't there some evidence that this mycoplasma is not a normal occurrence? In other words, it doesn't normally occur in nature, but it has been genetically modified by someone or someplace because it has an unusual structure?
Well, mycoplasmas, and there are about 100 different species known, have been known for a long time. As I mentioned before, most of them are thought to be relatively benign. You can find them, for example, in the oral cavity and other places where they really don't cause disease or they really don't cause a problem. It's when they penetrate into our body that they seem to cause a problem, and there are only about a half a dozen species that seem to be highly pathogenic. The unfortunate thing is that if a couple of these species look like they have some genetic alterations, and this points to the fact that these things may have been developed and tested as biological warfare agents, not necessarily to kill people, but to incapacitate them. And the rationale behind that is an incapacitating agent can cause a lot more problems in the long run than a lethal agent. A lethal agent may kill a few people, but then you quarantine the area, you isolate the problem, and then the problem sort of stops. But in these slowly evolving chronic illnesses, the problem doesn't stop. It goes on for a long period of time and causes a lot of economic problems, more people required to help treat the chronically ill patient, the economic problems because they're incapacitated, they can't work, and so on. So they become a drain on the community, on the family, and so on and so forth. Then they slowly spread in the process because they're not being stopped. And then more and more people get sick, and so it's a slowly evolving situation, almost like we see in the United States with so many people becoming slowly chronically ill. It's an insidious thing that once these things get out and get loose, that they continue to slowly spread. And a lot of the propaganda that goes on is trying to prevent people from finding this information and from finding out about it, how to get tested for it, and how to get treated for it.
And that, of course, is really so tragic that they would actually conceal information that would help people. Now, weren't the Nazis actually working with these mycoplasmin as biological warfare agents during the Second World War?
Yes, they were doing a number of different tests on these agents in Eastern Europe in the death camps. For example, Ifarben Company, the large arms and pharmaceutical company, in Germany was experimenting using complex mixtures of these agents. They weren't using the highly purified type. They were using mixtures, and some of these were brought back after World War II in Operation Paperclip by the Army, and they were worked on further in our institutions like Fort Detrick, and where they could actually isolate down and find out exactly which microbes were the pathogenic forms. And then you can do by a number of different things, including genetic engineering, make these more and more pathogenic, more and more dangerous. And then once that happens, of course, then some idiot decides that these need to be tested. And so they choose certain control situations, like military recruits, for example, or prisoners, to do their testing, thinking that, well, we can keep it confined, we can keep it under control that way. But unfortunately, you can't control a biologic warfare agent. You can't control these weapons. And once you put it into that situation, they will get loose, and that's what we think happened.
Well, would you like to talk a little bit about what happened at Huntsville, Texas? Because that is such an important story, totally ignored by the controlled media.
Well, you know, it's very interesting because I get reporters contact me all the time about the so-called mystery illness of Huntsville, which is not really much of a mystery to me, but we found that most of these people were infected with Mycoplasma fermentans, but they had a lot of unusual problems. They had autoimmune diseases like multiple sclerosis in astounding frequencies in that community, which is a small community where there are three prisons, and they were doing tests at these prisons. And how do we know that? Well, some of the families of the prison guards actually dug out the data from the state and actually got confirmed information. Everything from board of minutes of the prison board, minutes of the prison board meetings, and so on, proving that they had approved these scientific experiments using mycoplasma and viruses and other things in the prison system. And the prisoners were getting sick and dying, and then the prison guards got sick, and they took it home to their families, and then the families were getting sick. So in small towns like Huntsville, there was an epidemic of chronic fatigue syndrome, multiple sclerosis, Lou Gehrig's disease, and a lot of other things like rheumatoid arthritis and so on. And there were so many people sick, and when you trace it all back, it traced back to primarily the families who somebody in the family worked at the prison, either as a guard or worked in the infirmary or even in the offices in the prisons. And so this was causing quite a problem. And the amount of cover-up that went on, the amount of energy that the federal and state authorities put into covering this all up was just amazing, the steps that they went to keep the American public from finding out about all this. And, of course, there's liability, not only economic liability, but there's criminal liability involved here because these prisoners are being given these infections, and then they were testing vaccines to see if they would work against the infection, all without informed consent, and so nobody knew what was going on in the prison system. The guards didn't know. Even the people who worked in the infirmaries didn't know what was going on.
And, of course, the great tragedy is nobody is ever held responsible for these terrible, terrible things that are being done, and I see very little difference between what happened in the Nazi concentration camps and what has happened here in America. But the difficulty is, you know, this is not getting out. You mentioned the reporters that contacted you. Did any of them ever write articles? Did this ever get into the major news media about Huntsville, Texas?
Hardly any ever wrote articles, and there were hardly any news broadcasts on it.
We'll be back in just a moment with Dr. Garth Nicholson here at the American Freedom Network.
New. We have the finest in gun safes and new and used guns and reloading supplies. Now we have a new state-of-the-art gun range. Yes, for pistols and rifles, a beautiful well-lit 25-yard range with automatic retrieval, with a state-of-the-art ventilation systems. Yes, you can try it before you buy it. We have gun rentals and instructors can be arranged. That's the new Rocky Mountain Shooter Supply and Gun Range. 970-221-5133, 1/4 mile west of I-25 on Mulberry. Private instructors welcome.
When you look at the sky, it seems relatively empty. Yet somewhere beyond that vast sea of blue lies Wild Blue, affordable high-speed internet via satellite. For as little as $49.95 a month with free installation, Wild Blue brings you the world and your connection to it. Imagine surfing the web with lightning-fast speeds up to 30 times quicker than dial-up. Suddenly, you can send large emails in a flash. You can even download music or watch videos online. Plus, Wild Blue comes with a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. Finally, just about everyone under the sun has access to affordable high-speed internet. And like the clear blue sky, that's a beautiful thing. Wild Blue, high-speed internet out of the blue.
Make the move to Wild Blue Country. Call 1-866-WILD-BLUE today and get free installation. That's 1-866-WILD-BLUE or see your local dealer. Must have Southern line of sight. Speeds may vary. Price of first to value back. Promotional plan details subject to change at any time. See wildblue.com for full details.
Hi, this is Michael at KHNC Radio, and I'd like to stop for a moment and talk about Andy's Painting and Handyman Services in Greeley. You know, those little things around the house, the yard, even the car, they can pile up and we can all fall behind. That's where Andy's comes in. They can help you with remodeling, plumbing, decks, floor tile, auto and home upholstery, woodworking, drywall, and painting, and so much more. Andy's done a lot of work for us here at the radio station and at home, so we can highly recommend them. That's Andy's Painting and Handyman Services at 815 37th Avenue Court in Greeley. You can call them at 970-576-5333. That's 970-576-5333. Andy's Painting and Handyman Services in Greeley. Tell them KHNC sent you. And thanks.
This is Michael Golden, and I'm pleased to announce the release of my new CD, Mikamot HaKodeshi, Holy Places. Holy Places is a collection of some of my favorite praise and worship songs. It's available now at the American Freedom Network for only $15 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-800-205-6245 to order your copy of Holy Places.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network. Our guest this morning, Dr. Garth Nicholson. And Dr. Nicholson, would you give your website out one more time so people would know how to get in touch with you, because there's so many people out there with these chronic illnesses, Lyme disease, chronic fatigue syndrome, and these other new emerging diseases that really don't even know where to turn, because the average doctor can't diagnose them because of the testing facilities really are not readily available. So how can people get in touch with you and your organization?
Well, the easiest way is to send me an email, and they can get my email address on our website for the Institute for Molecular Medicine. It's www.immed.org. Just, if you remember, immediate.org, you'll be able to get on the site. Or just use Yahoo or Google and put in the Institute for Molecular Medicine. We're located in Huntington Beach, California, and you'll find us right away.
All right, fine. That's IMMED.org. And let me suggest, if you have a problem, get Dr. Nicholson's information. Well, certainly, because would you like to perhaps tell a little bit more about your book? You mentioned there that you've actually had the opportunity to talk to at least one scientist who was involved in these macabre experiments. He wouldn't put his name out because, well, he really feared for his safety, didn't he?
Well, we've actually talked to quite a few scientists and physicians who were involved in these programs and so on, and as you mentioned, none of them wanted to go public with the information. They all feared for their lives if they brought something forward publicly. But we know actually now quite a bit about some of the programs that were being undertaken. And I think you have to realize that this was primarily during the last stages of the Cold War, when the United States was in competition with a number of other countries that were developing biologic warfare agents, particularly the incapacitating agents as well as lethal agents. And, of course, the Soviet Union at the time, before it crashed, had a massive program going on. They were developing all kinds of different things. And so this was, I think, done in the United States. A decision was made that we had to keep up. This was kind of an unconventional arms race to continue developing these biologic weapons. And, of course, once you develop them, then there's the pressure to test them. And I think this is where we all went wrong, is that they actually started testing these things and, of course, using prisoners and military recruits. And even in some cases, they used rest homes or nursing homes to test them. And this is highly illegal, highly irresponsible, because once this happens and they get loose, and this is what we think happened. We discuss this in our book, Project Daylily, and if people would like to read an excerpt from the book or find out more about it and then buy it from Dr. Stan's bookstore, that's fine. It has its own website, www.projectdaylily, spelled as one word, and Lily only has one L, .com. So it's projectdaylily.com. They can find out more about the book and then come back to Dr. Stan and purchase it.
Now, why do you have only one L in Lily? Where did that name come from?
Well, that's actually a code name for one of the projects in developing the mycoplasma, the weaponized mycoplasma. That's a U.S. Army code name. We chose that for the name of the book, just I think because it kind of encapsulated all the problems that we faced. And of course, daylily only has one L, and daylily is a type of flower. And the reason it was named after this is when they first looked at it in the electron microscope, it had the shape of a kind of like a daylily, and so they ended up calling the project Daylily.
Well, now what about the Gulf War illness? Certainly, this disease has plagued so many of our young men coming back from the first Gulf War. I mean, do we have any idea how many people contracted it? What percentage of the people who had the Gulf War syndrome, because it seems to be a syndrome, so there are probably several causes, but what percentage of them had the chronic mycoplasma infection, and what about the treatment of that?
Well, we know that over 200,000 from the first Gulf War registered with the Department of Veterans Affairs with illnesses. Many of these were undiagnosable illnesses. In some cases, they tried to push this off as post-traumatic stress disorder. But in our studies, we found that about 40% of these sick veterans had this unusual mycoplasmal infection. In most cases, it was Mycoplasma fermentans, but in some cases, it was Mycoplasma genitalium, and we didn't expect that at all. And so these are two fairly, at the time, unusual types of mycoplasmal infections, and we didn't expect to see these in such high percentages. And it's interesting that this is what you see also in things like Lyme disease, and I wouldn't be surprised if the same thing comes out in Morgellons disease. You also see it in AIDS as well. A very high percentage of these, at the time, rather unusual mycoplasma species. And this is one of the suspicious things about these emerging illnesses, is the fact that when we find the mycoplasmal infections, they're not the species that we might expect. And unfortunately, the species that we found in the Gulf War veterans, we did detect that it had been modified and made more pathogenic, and there were a number of modifications. which we go into in a little more detail in the book. And so people, if they buy the book Project Daylily, they can find out a little bit more about this, how we uncovered this and the techniques that we used and the trouble that we got in because of it. And I think most people can recognize that when you do something like this, you leave yourself wide open to attacks. And, of course, we had our share of those. They lined up people to attack our work. We were attacked economically. We were attacked physically. We, in every possible way, they went after us to shut us up, to discredit us, to try and stop our research. When we were in Houston, we had a lot of problems because our laboratory was being sabotaged all the time. And so we just had to work very hard to try and keep everything going.
And, of course, for our listeners, think of the implications. Over 200,000 or 200,000 of our servicemen ill after the first Gulf War, and a significant number of those. About what percentage do you think have the mycoplasma infection?
Well, in our studies, we found that of the most severe cases, over 40 to 45% had this unusual mycoplasma, and that's a very high percentage. Now, the illnesses from the first Gulf War were a combination of different illnesses due to chemical exposure, a few due to radiologic exposure, but we found that the very large percentage of them were due to this unusual mycoplasma. And now the next question is, where did it come from? And one of the most disturbing aspects of this was that the people that were deployed received these multiple military vaccines during deployment. And if you do an epidemiological study, you can actually show that there's a very strong association with people that received the multiple vaccines that came down with Gulf War illness. A few of those that were deployed that didn't receive all these vaccines, that didn't get Gulf War illness, and some of the armed forces personnel that were inoculated but weren't deployed because the war ended so soon, some of these came down with Gulf War illness, just almost the same type of disease as the deployed forces. So it wasn't deployment dependent, and it seemed to be linked to the multiple military vaccines that were given to our armed forces personnel.
And, of course, I think the British had the same problem, but the French refused to vaccinate their people, and didn't they have a much lower incidence of this condition?
Well, the French armed forces had made a decision some time ago that they would counter biologic weapons with antibiotics for the most part instead of vaccines. And so they didn't have the problems from the first Gulf War that the British, U.S., Canadian, and Australian and other forces had.
We'll be back in just a moment here on the American Freedom Network.
Tapes of the preceding show are available by calling 1-800-205-6245, the American Freedom Network.
Insulin, Our Silent Killer, is a new book written by scientist Thomas Smith. In this self-help manual for diabetes and other blood sugar handling problems, you will learn the true cause of this disease and, more importantly, what you can do about it.
Insulin, Our Silent Killer is available from the American Freedom Network for only $25 postpaid. Call 1-800-205-6245.
It's extensively referenced with helpful tables to learn what foods are good and which ones are not. This is a must-read for everyone.
Bill of Rights, Article 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Article 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed.
Just a good old boy.
Hi, I'm Eric Cedarstrup. For over a decade, I've been the CEO, shipping clerk, and janitor of the Patriot Trading Group. And in that time, I've made friends with tens of thousands of like-minded individuals all over this country, most like me, trying to raise a family, run a business, and make sense out of a world gone mad. I'm proud of the fact that through stock bubbles, housing bubbles, and financial chaos, our customers are prospering and doing very well. By keeping our prices fair and our service fast, we find that 80% of our customers not only reorder, but they tell their friends. Don't be fooled by hype and high pressure. Do business with a company you can trust. Call the Patriot Trading Group at 1-800-951-0592 or check out our website at allamericangold.com. You'll be treated with honesty and respect. You have my word on it. I'm Eric Cederstrom, CEO, shipping clerk, and janitor.
Making their way the only way they know how.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network. Our guest is Dr. Garth Nicholson. His book, Project Daylily, and of course, it's available through our ministry. And we'll give you the telephone number a little bit later. But you can go to the website, Project Daylily, and that's with one L in Lily, and you can read excerpts from the book. But I will promise you it's one of the most exciting adventure stories you've ever read. The only trouble, it's real. And, of course, I can identify with the book because I've had the privilege through the years of actually interviewing some of the people, and although their names were altered, I knew who they were because we'd talked to them, and, you know, as they revealed one or another aspect of this amazing study. It's so difficult for the average individual to believe that this sort of thing goes on, isn't it, Dr. Nicholson? I mean, you know, most people, when you tell them about this, unless it's affected them or someone they know, they find it difficult to believe.
Well, that's certainly true, and, you know, most people thought that might have made this up, but it's entirely true, and everything in it is true. And as you said, the only thing that was changed on it were the names and the institutional names and in the places. Other than that, everything is true. And so that's why I think that some people have a hard time fathoming the fact that these things can happen in America. In fact, they did happen, and they're still going on in some cases. And we have to learn about this so that we can prevent history from repeating itself.
And of course, you had taught in the medical school. Wasn't it that several of your students went on to become, at least one of them was a pathologist, and what happened to him?
Well, he died prematurely under suspicious circumstances, and we don't know all the details of what happened, but he was the pathologist that complained to the state about who was getting the bodies for autopsy from the prison system, because by law, they should have gone to the University of Texas Medical Branch at Galveston, and they weren't going there. They were going to a military base, an army base outside of San Antonio for autopsy, and he raised that stink, and later he was found dead. And so this happened, as I mentioned, my boss was shot in the back of the head, and some of my other colleagues died under very suspicious circumstances. So there were a lot of things going on and a lot of very dangerous things happening all around us, and we ourselves I had a few very close calls, and this is discussed in the book, and it became really quite kind of an adventure story for us, but the kind of adventure story that becomes a horror story in a way.
Well, of course, you and your wife, you know, recovered your health after the attempted poisonings, and, you know, certainly it's a story that people need to understand. It reads like Tom Clancy, but, you know, it's actually the things that are going on in America today. And, you know, the moral implications of what's going on are the cover-up, the constant cover-up. We can't tell the American people it's all in the name of national security. We don't want Osama bin Laden or maybe somebody over in Russia to know what's going on. No, they don't want the American people to go and know what's going on, because this is really, at least according to international standards, criminal activity, isn't it?
Well, yes, it is, and it's even worse than that in a way. I mean, they're violations of our treaty obligations that are involved in this. Of course, they're violations of criminal law and of civil law and so on. So there are a number of issues here in terms of liability that there's probably some pretty good reasons why people in government want to keep this quiet and cover it up and don't want it on their hands because they could go to jail because of it.
Well, I think that it's vitally important that you've written the book, that we have the information out, and that the people understand that these diseases are not imaginary. The great tragedy is, you know, they go to the doctor and they say, it's all in your head. You just have all of these vague symptoms and we can't find anything. And yet, of course, that is really what's so characteristic about these emerging diseases, isn't it? They have such varied symptoms and so few physical findings.
Well, they're exactly. I mean, there are a lot of signs and symptoms. In some cases, the patients may have 20 to 40 or more different signs and symptoms. but they're all relatively nonspecific, so you can't pin down anything unique to a given type of, for example, infection or given type of genetic defect or given type of problem. But it's the looking at the whole issue, the whole different series of signs and symptoms and so on, which then you would then decide that, well, certain tests need to be performed. The problem is that all the general tests that physicians perform all come up negative. And the reason for that is, in the case of these stealth infections, is these were designed to hide deep in our tissues and not be available for tests and not cause any abnormalities that you could pick out by a test. That's what we call them, stealth infections.
Well,
they can be found, but the tests are really highly complex tests. They're very difficult to perform, and only a few laboratories can do them.
Well, I remember when I was practicing medicine, people would come in with this sort of these vague symptoms, and I'd always order a sed rate and a white count and figure, well, if the sed rate and white count is all right, why, there isn't an infection. But what happens to the sed rate and white count in these chronic diseases?
Well, in most cases, they're within the normal range, except during the acute phases of these infections. These infections are often cyclic in nature, and if they do cause pretty severe signs and symptoms, often the sed rate will change, indicating that there's something going on. In this case, there's clots forming in the blood, for example. And a lot of this is caused by inflammation of the vascular system. It's a process that we call vasculitis or vascular inflammation. And this is very important, for example, in stroke and other types of cardiovascular diseases. But what happens is that these infectious agents get in the cells that line the blood vessels, the endothelial cells, and they cause metabolic abnormalities in those cells and cause them to release factors which increase the clotting rate in the blood. So this happens with these patients, but often their sed rates are within the normal range. They might be at the extreme of the normal range, but they're often still within the normal range, unless they're having an acute episode.
And then the doctor sees that, and he shrugs his shoulders and says, well, gee, we can't find anything wrong with you, therefore, this has got to be an emotional problem. And I'll have to admit, as a practicing physician, more than one time, I remember one wife of a good friend of mine had a rear-end collision, a whiplash injury to her neck, which is the reason she came to see me. And she developed chronic fatigue syndrome. Well, how can a whiplash injury produce chronic fatigue? But it really can't it, Dr. Nicholson?
Oh, it's very common. About a quarter of the cases of chronic fatigue syndrome develop after acute trauma.
Well, we're out of time, but God bless you. Thanks so much, and we'll tell our listeners how to get the book in just a few moments. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Pain, it can really affect your day. If you're looking for a natural way to help with your pain, Healthy Nature's NutriPain may be just for you. Whole dried herbs are specially blended to help ease your muscles or sore joints. A 60-capsule bottle is just $12.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-800-205-6245 and ask for Healthy Nature's NutriPain.
American Biotech Labs, a world leader in silver technology, introduces Silverbiotics, a patented silver supplement that's the ultimate immune system support, doctor recommended and a natural alternative. Dr. Ken Friedman, a medical research writer and author of the book The New Silver Solution, states, Silverbiotics is 96.8% bioavailable and can safely be used every day to support a healthy immune system. To order your Silverbiotics, call 1-800-205-6245. That's 1-800-205-6245.
Buffalo Bill Cody, frontiersman, buffalo hunter, showman, not exactly a guy who was easily entertained. That's why he spent so much time in Denver. There was always something going on, just like today. From world-class sports, shopping, performing arts, museums, and restaurants, Denver has it all. Why go anywhere else? Invite your family to experience a Mile High Energy, too. Find visitor specials for the holidays, New Year's, and beyond at denver.org. Sponsored by the Denver Metro Convention and Visitors Bureau and aired in cooperation with the Colorado Broadcasters Association and this station.
Bill of Rights, Article 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Article 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Heart of Freedom Network. You really want to get a copy of this book. It's one of the most fascinating adventure stories you've ever read. The only trouble is it's true. And I know a number of the people that are mentioned here. I've had an opportunity to study their careers or actually to interview them on our programs. Ladies and gentlemen, there really are evil people out there. The book is Project Daylily. And, of course, it goes right along with my talk on planned population reduction. It's available in either DVD or video. Fascinating information you're not going to get elsewhere. There is a mass genocidal program going on in the world today since we banned DDT, not because it was harmful, but because it was saving so many lives from malaria. Since we banned DDT, almost 100 million people have been murdered throughout the world by malaria with a full knowledge and support of wicked people in our government who want to control the world population. After all, aren't there too many people in the world? There are over 2 billion people in the world who either have or have had hepatitis B. And how do they get it? Well, most of them got it by the use of dirty needles with vaccination. You know, you might think there might be somebody smart enough in the World Health Organization to start using clean needles when they do immunizations. But for so long, oh, it was just so expensive to have clean needles. Well, let's use dirty needles, but everybody's got to get vaccinated. Because we're here from the World Health Organization, we're here to help you. Could anything be this crass and indifferent to human suffering? And if they're willing to do it to the rest of the world, are they willing to do it to you and your family? You need to get a material on planned population reduction. It is a 2.5-hour talk I did for the Prophecy Club, and the sources of documentation are there. You'll certainly want to go to our website and get our material. We have a great deal on our and documentation on our website. We have a video called Population Control, a 4-tape set on population control. We offer the National Security Study Memorandum 200, the government's plan 1994, over the name of Henry Kissinger, a top secret for many years, because they didn't want people to know we were planning on killing off people in other nations. We have the testimony, complete text of the testimony of Dr. MacArthur back in 1969, Donald MacArthur, testifying before the House Appropriations Committee, asking for $10 million to create a new organism that would destroy the immune system for which there'd be no immune response. And as he said, some people think we shouldn't make it because it would be a new form of mass killing, but we want the money. Could there be such evil people in the world? And, well, if we have a great 4-tape set, it's called The New Order of the Barbarian. It's interviews with Dr. Dunnigan, who heard the talk given by Dr. Richard Day just 2 months before Dr. MacArthur testified before the House Appropriations Committee on Military Affairs. And Dr. Richard Day was saying, we're going to create new diseases because there are too many people in the world. Dr. Richard Day was in charge of the medical division at Planned Parenthood. He was the medical advisor to Planned Parenthood. And he talked about creating new diseases, suppressing treatments for cancer. And ladies and gentlemen, there are treatments for cancer. They're being suppressed. We're spending billions of dollars on a war on cancer. And you know, we're getting more cancers all the time. Understand what we're up against and then help us get the information out. Our number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. A great place to start would be Project Daylily. The life you save with your own. Till tomorrow at the same time, may the Lord be with you.
Now you can reach the American Freedom Network at our new P.O. Box, 1750 Johnstown, Colorado, 80534, or online at AmeriFree.com.
I'm Ann Johnson. For over 11 years, I've owned a health food store. I'm an iridologist, herbalist, and perform extensive muscle testing to find out what products best meet my customers' health needs. That's why I'm so excited to tell you about Vital PSP. It consistently surpasses over 3,000 samples in my test kit. My customers are having amazing fast results. Vital PSP has profound effects at DNA levels. If you struggle with any health issues, I recommend you call me, 303-833-2784.
Sick of playing the guessing game with your vitamins? Tired of paying hundreds or even thousands of dollars for supplements that may or may not work?